All right. Hi, everybody. I am here for, I call the program I Am That, but I'm actually reading from Consciousness and the Absolute, the final talks of Sri Nisargadatta Maharaj. And last week we started the message from December 25th, 1980. So I'm going to continue with that message today. And I'm beginning with the question at the bottom of the page, at the bottom of page 26. So it's a new question. And last week, Nisargadatta was talking about the uniform. And by the uniform, he meant the body. So when the questioner talks about the uniform, he means the body. So the questioner says, what does one do when the uniform gets troublesome? So what does one do when the body gets troublesome? Nisargadatta says, recede into your own true self. Be one with your true self. This I am-ness enjoys various experiences. It becomes a beggar or a king. Is this body eternal? The body has been changing all during your life. Which identity is you? So it's interesting that he talks about how this I am-ness enjoys various experiences and then says it becomes a beggar or a king. That kind of just now touched my heart, and so I'll attempt to explain why. It touched my heart to... I just looked up at Jesus, and I think he's smiling at me. It touched my heart to know that every single person, no matter how, I'm going to say respectable, how famous, or how low in the gutter they are, they're the same I am-ness. That touches my heart. To know that every single person, no matter what they achieve or don't achieve in this lifetime, is the same I am-ness. But he also says, the body has been changing all during your life. Which identity is you? You know, whether you're a beggar or whether you're a king, at one time you were a five-year-old. You know, whether you're a beggar or you're a king, at one time you were a 16-year-old and et cetera. And at one time you maybe fell in love and maybe had children. And then, you know, maybe now you're a grandparent, whether you're a beggar or a king. Those are all different identities. You know, when we were five, we had an identity as a child, right? Adults were different than us, remember? And when we were 16, we had a completely different identity. We no longer had the identity of as a child, but we didn't quite have the identity as an adult either. You know, so throughout our life, our identity has changed from child to teen to young adult, maybe to what finally felt like a mature adult. I have a house and I have kids and now I feel like a real grown up. And then maybe on to a grandparent. And he's saying, which one of these are you? Are you the child? Are you the teenager? Are you the young adult, the mature adult, the grandparent? And, you know, that's one of the earlier things. I've talked to you guys a lot about the things I've done to help me become aware of awareness. And that was one of the earliest things that I played with, was contemplating how this body and this mind have changed. Again, the body and the mind when I was five were very different than the body and the mind now, right? And they've changed a lot throughout my lifetime. So I've contemplated how the body and the mind have changed, but I have not. Like there's an I. There's something here that I call I that is always constant. It's the same I when I was five. The same I when I was 16, the same I when I was 20, you know, et cetera, et cetera. And that's really what he's pointing to here. He says, is this body eternal? The body has been changing all during your life. Which identity is you? You know, he's saying you're not any of these identities you've had since you've been in the body. You're the I that is beyond those identities. The questioner says, I identify myself with my body. I know that. Now, this is really interesting, and Nisargadatta is picking up on it. I can tell by what he says next. But the questioner says, listen to this very carefully, I identify myself with my body. Now, if I tell you this is my cup, there has to be an I that says my, right? There's I and cup. It's my cup. So if I say my body, there has to be an I that says my. I'm not really saying, whenever I use the words my body, I'm not really saying I am the body. I'm saying I have a body, like I have a cup, right? So when the questioner says, I identify with my body, I know that, Nisargadatta says, who, right? Who identifies with the body? Who? And the questioner says, I do. See, there's the I that has a my body. I do. And so Nisargadatta is funny. Nisargadatta says, give me a photograph of the meaning of the word I. Now that's funny too, because you know what? When we take a picture, all we get a picture of is the body. We don't get a picture of the I. Give me a photograph of the meaning of the word I. You can't. That principle has no name or form or shape. My firm conclusion is that whatever is done through the uniform is perishable. It is not going to remain. Which uniform has any permanency? And of course, my friend Jesus up there, you know, a lot of people really, I can't think of the word worship him, but that wasn't the word I was looking for. But they, you know, they put him way up on a pedestal. But, you know, and there's the story of the resurrection, right? But the body of Jesus is gone. You know, the body of Jesus was gone, even if there is a resurrection. Exalted, that's a great word, Don, thank you. The body of Jesus is gone. You know, we don't find Jesus walking around. Body of Elvis is gone too, right? We don't find Elvis walking around. You know, all these bodies are gone. This is what Nisargadatta is saying. All these kings and the beggars too. You know, so that principle, the I principle, has no name or form or shape. My firm conclusion is that whatever is done through the uniform is perishable. It is not going to remain. Which uniform has any permanency? Once you know that you are not the form or the name of that uniform, it is all over. Suppose you have hoarded some 1,000 rupee notes and suddenly the government order comes that they are all invalidated. That's funny because that actually happened a couple of years ago. They invalidated the current rupee notes and created new ones. And there was a big crisis, a money crisis in India. And we actually went to India during that time. It was difficult to get a hold of money because there wasn't enough money for everybody. So I guess Nisargadatta was looking into the future a little bit here. Suppose you have hoarded some 1,000 rupee notes and suddenly the government order comes that they are all invalidated. Once you discard this I am-ness uniform, what remains is the power of Brahman. That which is eternally current is the power of Brahman. The questioner says, will Maharaj help me discard my uniform? Nisargadatta says, what is the need? It is not eternal. It never was. That's interesting. You know, will you help me discard my uniform? And Nisargadatta says, what is the need? I mean, what need do we have to discard the body? You know, the body was born, the body will die. That's already determined. We don't need to rush it, right? What we need to do is realize we are not the body. You know, what we need to do is realize who we really are, but we don't need to rush. You know, this body is allowed to live its lifetime, right? The questioner says, we have not discarded ours. That is the problem. We have not discarded our bodies. That is the problem. Nisargadatta says, now tell me, when the knowingness was not there, what experiences did you have? The little touch of I amness, and you felt the existence of yourself and the world. Let me read that again because that made zero sense to me. I'll start with the questioner again. Will Maharaj help me discard my uniform? Nisargadatta, what is the need? It is not eternal. It never was. Questioner, we have not discarded ours. That is the problem. So I assume he's thinking Nisargadatta, you know, somehow he's saying, you've discarded your body. And Nisargadatta says, now, tell me, when the knowingness was not there, what experiences did you have? That little touch of I amness, and you felt the existence of yourself and the world. That still makes no sense to me. So I'm just going to move on. I've read it twice. It doesn't mean anything to me. So I'm going to go on with the conversation and see if it brings something to light. The questioner says, how to give up this knowingness? I think this is probably why it's not making sense to me. I don't know what knowingness they're talking about. The word knowingness hasn't showed up earlier in the conversation. So I don't know what they're talking about. How to give up this knowingness? Nisargadatta says, where is the need? If you accept that uniform as yourself, then the question of giving it up will be there. Give up your identity with the body. Try to know yourself. Now, the rest of that may not have made any sense to me, but this makes perfect sense. The questioner, again, was asking about discarding the body. And Nisargadatta was saying, there's no need to discard the body. Now he's talking about giving up some knowingness. I'm not quite sure what that knowingness is. And again, Nisargadatta said, where's the need to give up that knowingness? So I don't know quite what that is, but it's following the same pattern as the previous question. But then Nisargadatta says something that is very clear. What you have to give up is your identity with the body. Right? You have to give up your identity with the body and attempt to know your true self. You don't need to give up the body itself. And this is why, of course, we always hear the phrase, die before you die, right? It's not the body that you have to give up. Just your identity with it. Just the thought that that is what I am. It is merely knowingness. You cannot perceive that state. You come here because you are ignorant, not because you are knowledgeable. This knowledge I give is only to remove ignorance. And that's the end of that conversation, and we still have 15 minutes left. So I guess what I will do is jump right into December 26th, 1980. And we're still talking about the body, so it really fits well. Nisargadatta says, out of what is the body created? The questioner says, it is an expression of consciousness. Nisargadatta says, is this body not composed of the five elements? You know that you exist. does not this knowledge depend on the five elements? The consciousness cannot be known without the body. It depends on the form. And the questioner is really asking a good question next. So let me just say, I can't name off the five elements, but you know, the body is made up of water. That's one of the five elements, right? It's probably made up of earth. That's one of the five elements. Fire, ether. Here we go. Don's smarter than me. On this particular topic, you are. She's got two. So fire, ether. Is that it? Two of them? That's still smarter than me. Water has to be one, doesn't it? Can we put water in there? Okay, there's three. Anyway, so he's saying that the body... Don says when I said she was smarter than me, she clammed up. So Nisargadatta is saying the body is really composed of form, is the way that I would say that in simple language. The body is composed of form. And then he says consciousness cannot be known without the body. It depends on form. And the questioner says, do you mean that without the body, I do not know that I am? And Nisargadatta says that is correct. From your, and listen to what he says here, from your own experience, not what you have heard or read, can you know that you exist without the body? Now that's an interesting question. I was surprised that Nisargadatta said a moment ago that without form, I wouldn't know that I exist. That surprised me. I didn't expect him to say that. The questioner didn't expect him to say that. But when he says this, from your own experience, and then he cautions us, not what you've heard or read, don't depend on that, just look at your own experience, can you know that you exist without the body? Well, that's a really interesting question for me. For the most part of my life, the I, has experienced itself in this body, or at least with this body. But I did have one experience that was different, and you guys know about this. It was the time when I shifted into the apple. The one thing I got out of that experience was that I existed and I am not human. Because the I itself, the I that is aware, didn't change. But we could argue that the apple was just another body. It'll be interesting to see where Nisargadatta goes with this. But if I hadn't had that experience of the apple, then I would have to say, well, I'm not aware of having any experience other than being in this body, Regina. And most people would probably have to say they're not aware of any experience of existence except being in the body that they identify with now. But I did have a slightly different experience once, so I'm curious to see where Nisargadatta is going with this. I'm watching a really cute bug crawling around on my bed. He's really cute, and I'm wondering if he's sleeping with me tonight. I mean, I could move him, but he looks harmless, so I don't think I will. And I know he doesn't want to go outside because we're supposed to get a snowstorm tonight, and if he goes outside, he'll die. So he probably came in my room to try and extend his life. And you know what? It's I am. It's a little I am. Let me see if I can get him to come over here and say hi. Come here, little bug. Where'd he go? Oh, golly, he ran. Nope, he didn't want to come and say hi. Come here, little bug. I can't even find him. He really moved quickly. So I don't know what kind of bugs they are. I've only seen them in La Vida. Never seen them anywhere else. But tonight it looks like he and I will be sleeping together. So, from your own experience, not what you have heard or read, can you know that you exist without the body? Now, the questioner says, I exist without this body. Nisargadatta says, forget about what you have read. When you did not have the experience of this body, did you have the experience of being? Now, I wonder if Nisargadatta is speaking in English, because the questioner then says, I didn't know Nisargadatta could speak English, so I'm a little confused about this. The questioner says, my English is not very good. I cannot express it, but I know I am. I wish someone else was here to let us know if Nisargadatta ever spoke English. I've seen some videos of him, and he was not speaking English. I had heard this book was translated, so I assume he's not speaking English. So it's kind of an interesting thing for the questioner to say, my English is not very good. I cannot express it, but I know I am. Nisargadatta says, before you were born, could you have felt or sensed or known that you exist? A Yanani, or enlightened one, is free because he sees that the body is made up of the five elements and it works according to the nature of these elements. I see that body, but I am not concerned with whatever that body does. There is nothing in it with which I can identify. The essence of the combination of the five elements is the sense of being, of existing. It has all come simultaneously. I have no part in it. Feeling that I am present depends on having a body. I am neither the body nor the conscious presence. In this body is the subtle principle I am. That principle witnesses all this. You are not the words. Words are the expression of space. They are not yours. Still further, you are not that I am. So Nisargadatta is being very clear in what he's saying right now. I don't recall having read a teaching that said exactly this before. And so in a way, I don't have any comment on it, other than I understand what he's saying. He is saying that in order to have the sense I exist, we have to be in the body. And other than that brief experience of being an apple, I can't say that I have any knowledge that contradicts him. I have no idea directly what my experience will be when this body dies. We imagine that we will still have the sense I exist, but we don't know that. At the same time, I can't say that I know Nisargadatta is correct. And I'll tell you, there's two reasons for that. One is, again, the experience I had as the apple. And the other is that I once experienced what we call a ghost. Now, of course, I don't know what the apparition's experience was or if the apparition had an experience at all. I only know my experience of the apparition, right? but it appeared to be an existing being. So what this teaching does is it brings up in me unanswered questions. And that's the only thing I can say about it, you know. It brings up unanswered questions. So the questioner says, what am I then? And Nisargadatta says, who is asking? The questioner says, there is nothing here, no I. That's a question. Nisargadatta says, who is asking this? The questioner says, there is a sense of something. I don't know what it is. Nisargadatta says, if you feel that sense of something, can it be the truth? When this consciousness goes into oblivion, who is to say what that state is? The questioner says, I don't know. Nisargadatta says, because your I am-ness is not there, you do not know yourself. When you began knowing that you are, you did a lot of mischief. But when the I am is not there, there is no question of mischief. Now that makes sense to me. That makes perfect sense to me. And maybe I do understand this better than I indicated. There's this I don't know what to call it, feeling in me, but it's like an intuitive feeling, not like an emotional feeling. This feeling of me in me that I have touched a couple handful of times in my lifetime. It's this sense of life without knowing that I exist. I am aware of this. In fact, it would be beyond the apple. The apple was an experience of consciousness, not an experience of a human body, but an experience of consciousness, an experience of form. And this is why the apples, this is why I, as the apple, still had the sense I am or I exist, even without the words. But I am aware of, I somehow have known a couple of handfuls worth of times in my life about something that is beyond consciousness. I call it the first principle of God. And I can say for certainty that there is no sense of I am or I exist in that. And yet that is the foundation of the I am. That is the essence of everything that appears. And that is what we call the absolute truth. So I do know what Nisargadatta is talking about. And with that, we're out of time. So I will continue this. Maybe next week. Don, I'm going to let you know. I'm going to contemplate whether I come next week or not. It's a little, it's a little interesting working all day at the fall retreat and then coming back here and working at night too, you know. So, and next week, I think Jacqueline will be staying here with me. My mom's here. And it just feels, I don't know. It feels like I'd be walking away from them to come in here and close the door and teach. So I'll let you know. I'm undecided at this point. Okay.